Matthew chapter 26. It just so happened the last two Sundays that I'd get to working on the message that God had given me, I assume for Sunday morning, and lo and behold, it would just get into, I guess, draw out in length so much that I've been preaching the first part on Sunday morning and preaching the second part on Sunday afternoon. And I had not planned it that way. That's just the way it worked out. And the same is true today. As we're observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I was looking at some things here, and usually when we come to observe this ordinance, I'll just talk about two or three things related to it. But for some reason, I feel like today the Lord will have me to take both services and go into a little bit more depth and cover a good bit more material than I would normally would as we observe the Lord's Supper. And so I'm going to cover some things this morning. We'll see how far we get, then we'll cover some more this afternoon. Another thing that I believe the Lord will have me do that I've not normally done when we observe the Lord's Supper is this. Normally, I would take a passage of Scripture and we'd focus on that passage of Scripture, and I would just perhaps refer to some other passages of Scripture rather than ask you to turn back to them and look at them. But this morning, I believe, for some reason, I believe the Lord have us to read all four accounts in the Word of God about the Lord's Supper, and that He would have me lead you in going back and forth between those four accounts. Otherwise, we're going to take a little bit more time to cover things. And normally I'd say just take some notes along these lines, but for some reason, I believe the Lord's just saying, I want you to let the people see. I want them to see what you're talking about. Not just say, well, the preacher said it, and hopefully they'll take some notes, but I want you to see it. I want you to see it. And so I'm going to try to do that this morning, and I want you to have your Bibles ready and be ready to follow along. Now, next Lord's Day is Easter Sunday, the annual day on which we give special emphasis to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, every Sunday is a day in which we give special attention to the resurrection of the Lord. The reason we meet together on Sunday, the Lord's Day, instead of on Saturday, the Sabbath day, the reason we meet together is this, that's the day of the Lord's resurrection. And so when we come together every Sunday, we're actually thinking about and celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it has become a tradition for most churches to set aside one Sunday, which we refer to as Easter Sunday, to set that aside and on that day give special emphasis to nothing but the resurrection. Well, that Sunday is next Sunday, next Lord's Day, and Lord willing, we'll be doing that next Sunday. But realizing that next Sunday we're going to be emphasizing the resurrection of Christ, I think it is most fitting that we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, by which we are reminded of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's most fitting that we focus on this and observe this ordinance on the Sunday before we focus entirely on the resurrection of Christ. Otherwise, we're going to Calvary first, and then we'll go to the empty tomb next week. Today, we're thinking about the death of Christ. Next Sunday, we'll think about the resurrection. With the resurrection. So, I hope you see the logical order of this thing and how we're putting it together. Now, our Lord Jesus instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper as He met with His disciples, which were the nucleus of the church at Jerusalem. And I want you to remember how I said that. He instituted the ordinance as He met with His disciples, which were the nucleus of the church there in the city of Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, in an upper room on the eve of His crucifixion, we don't know exactly where the room was. There's a good possibility that it may have been in the home of John Mark. His mother, widow lady, obviously had a good-sized home there. And it may very well have been in that home where that they observed the Lord's Supper. We don't know for sure. We just know it was in an upper room there. But on the eve of His crucifixion there in that upper room, He ordained and established the ordinance that we're going to be observing. Now, there are four scriptural accounts of our Lord instituting this ordinance. And as I said earlier, normally we would just read one of those and focus on it. But this morning, I believe the Lord will have us read all four of them. So the first one is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I hope you got your Bibles open there, all right? Find that in your Bible, Matthew 26. And we'll begin reading in verse 26. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. Follow along in your Bibles now. The Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, the next account is in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, the very next chapter, book of the Bible. And in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Now, you may want to take a little piece of paper or something and put it there at Matthew 26, because we'll be going back and forth between these four accounts in the course of the messages this morning and this afternoon. In Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, we're going to read these accounts. These accounts do not contradict each other. They complement one another. But each one of them gives a little bit of information that the other one does not necessarily include. So in Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 22, the Bible says this, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." All right, the next account is in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And we go to the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 17. Luke 22, verse 17. The Bible says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" And now the next account is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, interestingly, of all four accounts, only the penman, notice I did not say the author of the Word of God, of all the Bible is who? It's God. But the penman Matthew is the only one that was present when the Lord actually instituted this ordinance. Mark and Luke were not, and neither was the Apostle Paul, whom the Lord used to write the book of 1 Corinthians. But in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" Now, here we have the four accounts of this ordinance. And if we look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and we look at verse 20, you would find that this ordinance is referred to as the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. And that's the reason that we refer to it as that way, as the Lord's Supper. However, you'll hear people refer to it in other ways. Some will refer to it as the Last Supper. The reason being that this was the last meal that our Lord ate with His disciples before His crucifixion. And so they say, the Last Supper. We say the Lord's Supper. Others say the Last Supper. And then there's others, based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you look at verse 16. And the Bible says, here the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And so there are people out there that would refer to this ordinance as communion. I'm trying to let you know these things because if you hear people refer to it, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, or communion, you'll understand we're talking about this ordinance that we're about to observe here this morning. And then there are others that would refer to it as the Eucharist. Now that's usually not in any of our circles that we run in, but the Eucharist. And the reason is because in all four of the accounts which we've read, it is stated in all four of those accounts that the Lord gave thanks. And the Greek word for thanks is Eucharisto. And so they would say, based upon the Greek word that's translated as thanks, they would call it the Eucharist. So I want you to know those things so you'll know that when people talk about it, whether it's the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, communion, or the Eucharist, they're talking about this ordinance. And they may... doesn't mean that they mean the same thing that we do, understand it as we do, but they're talking about this particular ordinance here. Now, as we come to observe this ordinance, and I said it earlier, normally I pick out two or three things and just emphasize those when we observe the ordinance, but I'm going to go over several things, more so than we'll ever be able to cover this morning, maybe more than we'll be able to cover this morning and this afternoon, but I think we'll be able to cover it. But I want to talk to you. We're going to go into more detail today than we normally do about the observance of this ordinance. And so when we come to observe the ordinance, I want you to understand it's very important that we understand some things. The first thing is this, not necessarily in the order of importance, but it's just one of the things that are very important. And that is that the Lord's Supper is an ordinance that is designed and instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. It was designed and instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord designed the Lord's Supper to be a very simple ordinance. Both the meaning and the purpose of the Lord's Supper, which we will delve into later as I preach, is very deep. It has a very deep meaning. It has a very deep purpose. But the ordinance itself has been designed deliberately by the Lord to be a very simple ordinance. In this ordinance, we will be using some very common elements. We'll be using bread, and we'll be using juice. Those are elements that are common, I guess, throughout all of the world. Not expensive elements. They're pretty readily available. And the Lord has designed the ordinance this way. And whenever we come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper or anything else that the Lord's designed, we need to be very careful not to complicate that which the Lord has made so simple. Amen? We're prone to do that. In some places you go, when they go to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and do other things, they make it so complicated. They're trying to impress people with all the ceremony and so forth there. But no, the Lord has, He has designed it to be a very simple ordinance. A deep meaning, a deep purpose, but very simple in its observance. The Lord also instituted this ordinance to be observed repeatedly. Repeatedly. Now, I do not find anywhere in the Scriptures specific instructions on how often we are to observe this ordinance. There are some that would just say, well, the Scripture implies that it ought to be done so often and so forth. I'm not going to argue with them, but I don't find any specific instructions on how often we are to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in the 26th verse, the Bible simply says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, otherwise as often as you observe this ordinance." Otherwise, it's not something you do one time, but you do it oftentimes. You do it more than one time. So the clear implication is from that one statement, it is that the Lord Jesus ordained that the Lord's Supper be repeated. But I believe that how often that the Lord's Supper is observed is left up to the discretion of each church. Now, there are some churches that insist that the Lord's Supper be observed every single Lord's Day. If that's that church's conviction, if that's that church's preference, I have no problem with that. I believe in the autonomy of the local church. Amen? And I'm not going to stick my nose in their business, and I hope that they don't stick their nose in ours. So if they believe that, that's fine. That's fine. There are some churches that determine that the ordinance of the Lord's Supper ought to be observed on a monthly basis. And so they'll observe it on one Sunday every single month. Again, that's not how we do things here normally. But if that's the churches, if that's the way the Lord's led them, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem being a member of a church that observed the Lord's Supper every Sunday, or one that observed the Lord's Supper every single month. But our practice is usually, not always, but our practice is usually to observe the Lord's Supper on a quarterly basis. That is, four times a year, once every 3 months, we take and we work it into the schedule to give a special emphasis to the observance of this ordinance. Now, some would say that's not often enough. Some would say perhaps that's too often. Again, I'm not going to argue with people about that. I'm not going to argue with that. But my thinking is this. Normally, that you don't want to observe it so often that it just becomes a meaningless ritual. Just something that people go through without thinking about it, without it having a special significance to them. So I don't want to do it too often, but I also don't want to do it, spread it out so much, do it so few times that the people forget about it. And you know, it's like we can leave it, take it or leave it. I don't want that. So we've used it once a quarter. Now, there have been times in the past, in churches I've pastored, where that the Lord just seemed to put on my heart, said, you know what, you need to observe this ordinance every month. And I've done that at times. For perhaps 6 or 7 months of time. Just observed it because I felt like this. We need to get back to emphasizing Calvary more. I need to take the people back there more. And so, but this is our normal practice. Usually it's once a quarter. But it is to be a repeated ordinance. So it is an ordinance. It has been ordained and designed to be a very simple ordinance and a repeated ordinance. That is the way the Lord has designed it and ordained it be done. Now, the second thing that's important for us to understand is this. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance. It is not a sacrament. Let me say that again. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance, not a sacrament. Now, there's some people that use the words ordinance and sacrament interchangeably. They don't think about there being any difference in them. We're very particular to refer to this as an ordinance and not as a sacrament. Why is that? A sacrament is technically defined as a religious ceremony or ritual through which divine grace is imparted. Do you get that? Technically, it is a religious ceremony or ritual through which divine grace is imparted. A sacrament is a religious ceremony whereby God's salvation is either earned by participating in it, our God's salvation is controlled by the person authorized to administer it. That is what a sacrament is. And by the way, the word sacrament is not found anywhere in our old King James Bible. I don't know about all the other versions. There's hundreds of them out there now. I understand well over 100 English translations of the Bible. But we still stick with this one. Amen? And you don't find the word sacrament anywhere in our old King James Bible. Now, why is it that we say it is not a sacrament? It is because according to the Word of God, sinners are saved by what? By grace through faith, not of what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved through a sacrament that somebody serves us or performs on us or that we participate in. No, we are saved by grace through faith. If it was through a sacrament, that would be putting works to grace. And you mark this down. If you just put a little bit of works in the grace, it's no longer grace. The book of Romans chapter 11 the book of Romans chapter 11, and the sixth verse. Look at this and see what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 11, and verse 6. The Bible, along these lines, it says this. No wonder I'm looking at 1 Corinthians. I said, that's not right. All right, Romans chapter 11, and verse 6. The Bible says this. And the book of Romans, this is a great book on salvation. I mean, it goes in there. It just expounds salvation from every angle. But in Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says this, and if by grace, then it is no more of what? Works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Otherwise, if I add works to grace, it's no longer grace, because it's now works. And he says, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You just can't mix the grace and the works together. Now, it's true that we're saved by grace and that we ought to work because we are saved by grace, but we are not saved by grace plus a little bit of works. We're not saved by grace plus observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We're not saved by grace plus observing the ordinance of baptism. No, it is all by the grace of God. Amen? And so we insist, it is not an ordinance whereby the divine grace, the grace of God, is somehow bestowed upon us. No, it is not a sacrament whereby the grace is bestowed upon us. Now, an ordinance is different from an ordinance is different from a sacrament. An ordinance is technically defined as a prescribed or authoritative decree or right. Let me say that again. It is technically defined as a prescribed or authoritative decree or right. Unlike a sacrament, ordinance is used, the word ordinance is used in our old King James Bible. So we're doing Bible talk when we call it an ordinance instead of a sacrament. Amen? So we need to realize that. Now, interestingly, the word ordinance is first used way back in the book of Exodus. Way back in the book of Exodus. I think you'll find this fascinating. Look back at Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, and we look back here at Exodus chapter 12, and here we find where that the Lord's Passover was instituted. In Exodus chapter 12, and we look at verse 11. And the Bible says this, where the Lord is instituting the Passover. This is on the night that He brings the children of Israel out from under their Egyptian bondage. And He says this in verse 11. He says, "And this shall ye eat, thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's what? The Lord's Passover." We're here observing the Lord's Supper. But this was where the Lord's Passover was instituted. All right? Now, look down at verse 14. And the Bible says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial," as we will see in the course of the message today. The Lord's Supper is also a memorial, as the Lord's Passover was a memorial. And He says, "And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an what? By an ordinance forever." That's the first place ordinance is used in the Bible. And it's where the Passover, the Lord's Passover, was instituted for the Jewish people to observe there. First place in all the Bible. Now, we know this, that the Lord's Supper has its roots in the Lord's Passover. We know that. And it's interesting that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which deals not only with the Lord's Supper, but deals with some other topics as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinthians, says this, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the," what? "The ordinances," plural, because there are two of them, "and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Ordinances. This is an ordinance. So we're very careful to say it is an ordinance. It is not a sacrament. Now, in the Old Testament, the ordinance of the Lord's Passover, and in the New Testament, we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, the Old Testament saints, listen carefully to what I'm saying, The Old Testament saints did not observe the ordinance of the Lord's Passover in order to be saved. They observed the ordinance of the Lord's Passover because they had already been saved by grace through faith. That's how they were saved. Grace through faith. And as New Testament saints, we do not observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in order to be saved, for we are already saved just like they were in the Old Testament. How? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. You see, they observed the Lord's Passover because they were saved by grace through faith, but they were looking back on their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. We observe the Lord's Supper because we have been saved by grace through faith, and we're looking back on the Lord giving His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for us. Memorial thing. So the observance of an ordinance is something we do in obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we have already been saved by the sweet, sweet grace of God. Amen? Not in order to have the grace of God imparted to us or bestowed upon us by the way of the ordinance, but we observe it in obedience to Him because we've already been saved by His wonderful grace. So it's important you understand that. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper, it is not a sacrament, it is an ordinance. Now, a third thing that I think is important for us to understand is this. The Lord's Supper is a local church ordinance. A local church ordinance. I said at the beginning of this sermon that our Lord Jesus instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in Jerusalem as He met with His disciples. And I reread that statement deliberately. I said, as He met with His disciples, which were the nucleus of the church that was located there in Jerusalem. They were the nucleus of that church. Now, there are two and only two ordinances that the Lord has ordained and established. And both of those ordinances are local church ordinances. One of the ordinances is the ordinance of water baptism, which is baptism by immersion, not by sprinkling or sponging or whatever, but baptism by immersion. That is, you are immersed under the water. That is one of the ordinances, and that is something that a person is to submit to after they have been saved. It has nothing to do with them being saved, but it is a public declaration of the fact that they have accepted the Lord that died for them, was buried when they go under the water, represents the burial, rose again. They are publicly proclaiming their faith. And so it is, that is one of the ordinances. Now, that is a one-time ordinance that takes place after a person has been genuinely saved. Now, I say that because so oftentimes something like this comes up. People say that they think they're saved. Maybe it's because of the fact that they got baptized in the past or whatever reason is, you know, maybe they because they were raised in a Christian family or whatever. But anyway, they have been baptized, even by immersion. And then later on they'll find out that they discover, no, you know something, I really was not saved. That happened to my own wife. I led somebody to Christ within the last few weeks. And I said, now you need to follow the Lord in baptism. And they said, well, I've already been baptized. I said, yeah, but you weren't saved back then. You weren't saved back then. I'm hoping they'll follow through with that. I'm hoping they'll follow through with it. So that's why I say it's a one-time ordinance after a person has been saved. So if you were baptized and then later on you got saved, you haven't been baptized since then, you know what? You need to get baptized. Because the baptism you've already experienced was not legitimately a scriptural baptism. But water baptism, by immersion, it's a one-time ordinance. Now, the other ordinance, remember, we're talking about ordinances the Lord has given to His church. The other ordinance is the Lord's Supper. And it is for those who are members of a genuine New Testament church. New Testament church. What's a New Testament church? Well, I'm convinced this. A true Baptist church is a true New Testament church. Amen. We just take the Bible and say, this is it. This is what we go by. Amen. But I realize everybody doesn't have Baptist in the name that necessarily is a New Testament church. And so I say members of a genuine New Testament church. And as we have previously noted, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance to be repeated. It is not once and that's it, as baptism is, but it is to be repeated. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, We see this. 1 Corinthians is a church epistle. The Apostle Paul, what do we mean by church epistle? We mean this, that the instrument that God used to write it was the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this epistle of 1 Corinthians to a specific church, the church at Corinth, a local church. And therefore, we call it a church epistle because it was written to a specific church. You say, well, it's not for us. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. The Lord preserved it for us. He's given it to us part of His inspired Word. And there's plenty we can learn from what He wrote to the Corinthian church. Amen? Just as it's true, we can learn a lot from what He wrote to the other churches there. But it's a church epistle. And I think that's so important for you to understand that. In fact, so many times, you won't understand things in the New Testament if you don't understand that they were written to churches. To churches. Now, in chapter 11, instructions are given to correct how the local church was carelessly observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. That's what they were being very careless about it. Now, one of the things that they were doing was having a social meal at church. Nothing wrong with having a social meal at church. But they were having a social meal at church in which those who could afford to bring food were bringing it, but they were not sharing it with those who could not afford to bring food. It would be like this if we had a meal here at the fellowship hall, and we said, all right, everybody's welcome to come and sit in and watch us eat, but if you didn't bring any food, then you can't eat with us today. You're going to have to just sit there and watch. That's basically what they were doing. There were some other things that were involved there, but that's basically what it boiled down to. No, the Lord said that's something that's got to be corrected. So that was one of the things that they were doing. Another thing that they were doing is this. They were not making a clear distinction between their church social meal and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. It was like they were mingling it together. They'd have one, then the other right after, and they were not really discerning the difference between the two, between the meal that would have been called a love feast back in those days, and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. So they were not discerning between the two. That's one of the reasons that whenever we observe the Lord's Supper, I never want to observe the Lord's Supper if we're going to have a meal afterward anything. I want it to be a time when we just focus entirely on the Lord's Supper. Now, I want you to take particular note that these instructions were given here. Of course, it's written to a local church, the Church of Corinth. But I want you to note that these instructions were given to a local church on how to observe the Lord's Supper. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you look at verse 17, and he says this. Now, what he's doing, he's leading into this to this instructions to correct them about how to observe the Lord's Supper. But in verse 17, he says, now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, now get this, that ye what? Come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Notice, that ye come together. Ye is plural. People say, I just can't understand those ye's in the Bible. Are you serious? Are you? Ye just simply means y'all. Amen. In Southern talk, all right? Instead of just one person, it's all of you folks, all right? And he says, so when all of you people at the church, when you come together. So he's talking about when they come together, when they assemble. That's what the word church means. From the word ecclesia means a gathering, an assembly, all right? Look at verse 18, the next verse. He says, for first of all, when ye what? Come together in the church. Again, ye, plural, all of you, come together where? In the church. Look down at verse 20. He says, when you come together, therefore, into one place. You see what I'm getting at? These instructions are given to a church that's gathering together, and he's correcting them about some things that they're doing which is not proper, appropriate for observing the Lord's Supper. Look at verse 33. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together. And then you look at verse 34. He says that ye come not together unto condemnation. All of these things tell us that these instructions are written to a church. A church. That's why I say this is a local church ordinance. Now, because we believe the ordinances are local church ordinances, we only practice them in a local church setting. Baptism and the Lord's Supper both, we only practice them in a local church setting. I hear people talk about, that they went on vacation to Israel, and I've been on vacation to Israel. And, of course, if you go down to the Jordan River, and they've got a place there where they tell you that Jesus was baptized, and they got a ramp built down in there and so forth, so you can go down there and get baptized if you want to. But I've talked to people, I've talked to Baptist preachers, and they go over there and they'll baptize people in the Jordan River and so forth, and it's like there's something special about being baptized in the river that Jesus is in. I got news for you, the water that Jesus was baptized in, it's way down, it's been in the Dead Sea and evaporated, all right? It's not the same water, it's the same river, but not the same water. But I would not baptize people in the Jordan River while I was on vacation. Why? Not unless my church was there. It's a local church ordinance. It's a local church ordinance. And so I just don't go around baptizing people in swimming pools and so forth. They get saved at home. I don't do that. I've not served the Lord's Supper outside of a local church setting. Why? I believe it's a local church ordinance. We only observe. I don't go around to people's houses with a little box in my hand that's got some communion cups and some juice and wafers and so forth in it and serve people communion in their home. I don't do that. Why? I believe it is a local church ordinance. Now, I'll tell you what we did do one time when Brother Messer, he was not able to come, and he was over there in the nursing home for a while, and we did this. We said, what we're going to do is, one Sunday evening, we did this. We said, here's what we're going to do. And the church approved of it. Said, after church, we're going to go over to the nursing home as a church, and they let us use the dining hall, and we're going to go over there as a church, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper with Brother Messer. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's a church setting. A church setting. But I wasn't going to go over there and serve the Lord's Supper, just me as his pastor. No, it is a church ordinance. Now, having said this, this is a logical point to pause and address some different views concerning who should participate in the observance of the Lord's Supper. And this is probably as far as I'm going to get this morning. But I want you to understand the different views, and I want you to understand where we stand. Some churches practice different forms of open communion. I say different forms because they have different degrees of openness, all right? And some people, by open communion, they would mean this. They would mean, if you're here, you can join in. Doesn't matter if you're saved, lost, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just join in open communion. There's others that would narrow it down a little bit, but you get the idea of open communion. And then there's some others that would go to the further end of the spectrum, and they would say, no, we practice closed communion. Closed. Get that? Communion. And by that, here's what they mean. Only members of our church are welcome to participate in the observance of this ordinance. You've got to be members of our church. There's people that hear that. Now, let me say this. If I was in a church, I couldn't go along with the open communion thing. I couldn't do that. But if I was at a church that practiced closed communion, that would not bother me at all. It would not bother me to sit in a church and they say, we're observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And if you're a member of our church, you're welcome to participate in it. But if you're not, please just observe what we're doing. Let the Lord speak to your heart. You know something? That would not offend me at all. I would say, you know what? This is the way the church does things here. That's their business. And I want to support them. I don't want to cause them problems, okay? The flip side is, if you'd be offended by the way we do it, I think you'd be wrong in that as well. I'm trying to get us to see. You know, we carry our feelings around too much on our shoulders sometimes, do we not? We carry our feelings around. But then there's those that practice, as we do, and this is our policy, what we call, now listen carefully, close communion. Not closed, but close communion. And by close, we mean this. We invite everyone present who is a member of a church, whether it be ours or another. If you're a member of a church of like faith and practice, we invite you to participate with us. What do we mean by like faith and practice? Well, we could get into a lot of faith and practice, could we not? But let me just put it out pretty simple. By faith and practice, we mean this. We're saved by the grace of God through faith, not by works. Amen. And we believe in that you ought to be baptized after you get saved and become a part of a church and so forth there. Like faith and practice. And so we invite those today. If you're visiting with us this morning and you say, well, I'm saved. I'm a member of a church of like faith and practice. And you would like to join with us. We as far as we're concerned, we welcome you to do so. We welcome you to do so. If you say, well, I'd rather not. Listen, nobody's going to be looking over their shoulder to see if you do or not. Amen? Anyway, so I want you to understand that. Now, there's several other things I'd like to talk to you about. Lord willing, this afternoon I'll talk to you about this. The Lord's Supper is a memorial ordinance. I'll talk to you about the Lord's Supper is a metaphorical ordinance. I think this one is so very important. So many times people don't understand that. I'll talk to you about the fact that the Lord's Supper is a personal ordinance. That it is a preventive and a corrective ordinance. And a few other things there. Those are just some of them. Now, most of you, if not all of you, you have been in church long enough that you understand this, that when we come, and I'll talk more about this tonight, but when we come to observe the Lord's Supper, we're thinking about the Lord dying for us on the cross of Calvary. And in the light of the Lord's crucifixion, the Bible tells us that we're to examine ourselves, each one of us, examine ourselves, and see if there's anything about us that dishonors or displeases the Lord, or grieves Him, or quenches Him. We deal with that, and we confess that. Otherwise, we judge ourselves, as we'll see this afternoon, that the Lord doesn't have to judge us and chasten us. We judge ourselves. And so here's what we're going to do. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes.